Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, March 20, 2016, 2 Timothy.
Awesome to you. That was a good catch, though, although I would have liked to have seen it on the back of Chris's head. Kind of watch the green go down. Next time I'll go, look out! Or I might just give the signal, down! As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 sounds like this so far. A command in the imperative mood from the Apostle Paul to a young pastor teacher who is a pastor of a congregation in Ephesus. That's in the Roman province of Asia, what today is Western Turkey. And he says to pastor teacher Timothy, suffer evil and hardship, undeserved suffering, along with me. And then he says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What we have is the comparative particle host plus the adjective kalos, plus the noun stratiotes, plus the genitive singular of Christos and Jesus. We start out with a comparative particle, hos. That's H long O-S, hos. And this is extremely important. It's setting up an analogy. An analogy between the spiritual life that God has for every member of the royal family of God and the military. This is awesome. This is great. To understand that this unique and wonderful spiritual life that God has for the royal family in the church age has an analogy, and that is serving in the military as an honorable soldier in the military. I know it says good soldier here, but the word for good, this is the Greek word for good, agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. That's the Koine Greek word that is good, should be translated good. But we don't have agathos here. We have kalos. K-A-L-O-S. So this isn't a good soldier. It's something far, far greater. First of all, kalos means honorable. Honorable. The analogy is with an honorable soldier in the military. Two, kalos means unobjectionable, excellent, excellent. I see the little people. We have awesome little people in this church. And they get the best Bible teaching in the nation. And these little people come back. They come back to my office for vitamins. I call them vitamins. You call them candy. And there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt not eat candy. Now, if you don't want your child to have candy, don't let them come back. Otherwise, when they come back, they think they're vitamins. You say, I'm helping you out. When you finally get to the point of giving them vitamins, they're going to want them. And I come back, first thing I ask them, I say, how are you doing? If they say, good, I go, oh, well, I'm going to start praying for you. Good. You're only good? Oh, that's a four-letter word. God wants you to be awesome, excellent, fantastic, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's what God wants you to be. He doesn't want you just to be good. Well, they've all learned. They come back. I ask them, how are they doing? They go, good. No, they don't go good anymore. Sophia will go, I am 100 ways excellent. All right. Great, I love it when you're 100 ways excellent. Excellent is infinitely better than good. Good, you're just barely above being thrown out. These aren't good soldiers, these are excellent soldiers. These are honorable soldiers. These are heroes. And in your military, I know you appreciate you. Those serving in the military, and you pray for them. Freedom comes through military victory, and you're here this morning in freedom to worship Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice of those on battlefields. Some gave the supreme sacrifice and gave their life, and were willing to do so that you could have the freedom that you have this morning to assemble in a Bible-teaching church and grow up in grace and truth. They are visible heroes. And we have wonderful, amazing, visible heroes in our military as we speak right now. They are kalos stratiotes. They are honorable soldiers. They are excellent soldiers. That's the analogy. The analogy here isn't to a good soldier. The analogy is to an honorable soldier, an excellent soldier. Kalos is the antithesis of kakos, which we had earlier in this verse. And it modifies the Greek word stratiotes. Looks like that in the Greek. That's S. T-R-A-T-I, long O-T, long E-S, stratiotes. Stratiotes is the Koine Greek word for soldier. A kalos stratiotes is an honorable soldier, an excellent soldier. But an honorable soldier and an excellent soldier of Jesus Christ. However, in the original autographs, it's reversed. It's not Jesus Christ, it's Christ Jesus. So the corrected translation is, suffer evil and hardship with me as an honorable and excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. Now you're all here this morning as soldiers of Christ Jesus. You're all soldiers of Christ Jesus. And you were enlisted by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You were enlisted by Him at the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're all soldiers of Christ Jesus. The objective is to be an honorable and an excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, the spiritual life takes on something very, very unique and wonderful and amazing. And it's the analogy is to one of the greatest systems of self-discipline and authority orientation in life, which is the military. How awesome is that? Suffer evil and hardship with me as an honorable and excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. One, the Apostle Paul used a lot of military metaphors in his New Testament epistles under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Pauline epistles, you see military metaphors used again and again. Now, where did Paul get all this information on the military? Well, actually, Paul spent a lot of his life with the Roman military, not by choice, but he spent a lot of time with the Roman military. In fact, under house arrest, under his first Roman imprisonment, he was chained to a member of the Praetorian Guard. It's hard not to learn something about them when you're chained to them and you live with them. He lived with them day and night, under house arrest. And learned a lot about the Roman military. The Apostle Paul knew the Roman military. He knew the elite guard. The Praetorian Guard was the elite guard. He knew a lot about them. So when he wrote about the military, he understood, he knew, he had firsthand information. Two, in his first Roman imprisonment, he was incarcerated with members of the elite Praetorian Guard. And he was chained to them. They lived, it was house arrest. He actually lived with them all the time during that imprisonment. Three, he literally lived with Roman officers and soldiers during his imprisonments. And undoubtedly, many of those soldiers are in heaven as we speak, having heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, many had believed in Christ and are now in heaven. Four, therefore, Paul learned about and came to know every aspect of the Roman military. Five, Rome was very particular about who was qualified to be a Roman soldier and who was not qualified. And they washed out a lot of people were washed out. It was the greatest military of the ancient world. Perhaps the greatest military of all time. And they were very particular. The training was very, very tough. Very difficult training. Very tough training. Demanded tremendous self-discipline. And many of the men who enlisted, were recruits, did not qualify and were washed out. So Rome was very particular about who was qualified to be a Roman soldier and who was not qualified. Six, great care was exercised in the selection and the training of recruits. Great care was exercised in the selection and the training of recruits. Seven, only the very best passed the training and were qualified to be a stratiotes, a Roman soldier. Only the very best passed the training and were qualified to be a Roman soldier. 8. Paul had this in mind as he wrote 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Nine, soldiers and pastor teachers must be of the highest quality. You see, by interpretation, this passage is addressing pastors. By application, it's addressing all members of the royal family of God. Soldiers and pastor teachers must be of the highest quality. 10. Both soldiers and pastors face maximum pressure, suffering, and testing in their occupations. Both soldiers and pastors face maximum pressure, suffering, and testing in their occupations. So verse 3, suffer evil and hardship with me as an honorable and excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. Again, 1, by interpretation, this passage refers to the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Two, by application, this passage refers to every believer in Jesus Christ. Three, at the moment of our salvation, at the moment of our faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ enlisted every one of us into the royal army as a soldier of Christ Jesus. You are all soldiers of Christ Jesus, enlisted by Jesus Christ Himself at salvation. 4, our commanding officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our commanding officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the best commanding officer ever. There is no commanding officer ever better than Jesus Christ. Five, the purpose and objective of the unique spiritual life that God has for us is to serve and to please our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. The purpose and objective of the unique spiritual life that God has for us is to serve and to please our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. This is verse 4. This is our next verse, which in the King James says, no man that warreth, that is, no man who goes to war, is in combat, in a campaign, military campaign, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? So that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You've been enlisted by Jesus Christ into the royal army. The objective is to please the one who enlisted you. Please the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual life designed for you to live to please your commanding officer. 6. Anyone who wears a uniform of any service has to go through a system of self-discipline and group discipline and authority orientation. Anyone who wears a uniform of any service has to go through a system of self-discipline and group discipline and authority orientation. All of our military services train their recruits in self-discipline and group discipline and authority orientation. Seven, there is a very evil concept in our culture today. It's called being a free spirit. Being a free spirit is you don't respect authority. You don't function independent of authority. You don't have self-discipline. You don't function under group discipline. You are a free spirit to do your own thing, which means you make the rules. You make your own rules. Being a free spirit means you do what's right in your own eyes. Now, there are no free spirits in the military. Those of you who have served in the military. You ever seen Heartbreak Ridge? I love the scene in Heartbreak Ridge when this fellow comes in and he's got a ring in his ear. Clint Eastwood looks at him, walks up with that ring in his ear, grabs the ring, pulled the ring right out of his ear. Ripped his ear a little open. Oh. Well, see, he thought he was a free spirit. He could have an earring in his ear. There are no free spirits in the military. You don't make your rules in the military. You don't walk in and say, you know, my girlfriend really likes my long hair. And I'd like to keep it. So I'll keep my long hair. Or dreadnoughts or whatever you have. No, first thing you do, you get in and sit down. Gone. Oh, so much for being a free spirit. I 4 o'clock in the morning is too early for drill. Get me at noon. Oh, that doesn't happen in the military. You learn about self-discipline, group discipline, authority. You first enlist, you have a drill sergeant. That drill sergeant is going to be tough. If you want the toughest drill sergeant possible, the tougher the better. You see, actually, that drill sergeant is designed to inculcate in you. Starts out with enforced humility to become genuine humility, inculcate self-discipline and then group discipline, so that if you're ever called into combat, that you can come back alive. No guarantee you'll come back alive, but his job is to train you and be tough, tough, tough on you so that you have a good chance of coming back alive. And the tougher, the better. If you haven't seen Heartbreak Ridge, see it before our next class. Because we'll be picking this up again next Sunday. Might want to see it. Look at, of course, Gunnery Sergeant, a gunny. See how many free spirits operated in under his command. This is an evil, evil concept. You don't respect authority. You function independent of authority. You don't have self-discipline. You don't function under group discipline. You do your own thing. You set up your own rules. You do what's right in your own eyes. Suffer evil and hardship with me as an honorable an excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. We'll pick it up here and continue this analogy in 2 Timothy 2:4 next Sunday. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, We want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ. And they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question, it's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in Him, there's the gift of eternal life. For the ones who reject Him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping with You through the study of Your Word. And we ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name, amen.